Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's now the 8:30 hour, the time that we have set aside to come to God and explore His Word, a time that God has allowed us to come together, a time when we become faithful to the 8:30 hour on Wednesday for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. And I feel good on tonight, you guys, because God is able, God is willing, and God is loving on His children. And all He acts that we love back on Him. Tonight is a good night. All of us has made it to the 8:30 hour. We have to realize everybody didn't make it this far. But we thank God. We came through the pandemic, and we still standing. God is in control, and He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He says He's our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. We're heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. And for that, I say thank you. Thank God for saving us, for setting us apart, allowing us to be born again. And it's a mighty good thing. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. Tonight, our title is Sin Always Promises More Than It Can Give. I don't know about you, but I look back in my life and the sins and how I was doing when I was wilding in my sins. It always told you, come on, it's going to get gooder and gooder and better and better. Sin is a trick of the devil. It's not really a trick, but sin is a part of the devil. Sin is what asks us to lead our lives and live by the world standards and not by the moral standards established by God in His Word, sin. Sin was what came into the world when Adam and Eve fell, and sin caused death. So tonight is Sin Always Promises More Than It Can Give, and I want you to know that this is the parable of the prodigal son. Our lesson is coming from Mark 15, verses 1 through 11 through 20. Hallelujah. As always, I play a song. And then once the song goes off, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And if God puts it on anyone's heart to pray at this time, I'll open your mic and let you pray. But the song tonight is titled Grace. And I chose this song because God's grace is so amazing. Every day I learn how God's grace is sufficient, not just for our salvation, but for us every step of the way. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's God's grace.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Time and all the time His grace is good. And at this time, it's time for us to go to God's throne in grace, God's throne of grace. And if anyone would like to lead us in prayer, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Well, Father, precious God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of you and the God of me, the God who created the world, who sent his Son and allowed his Spirit to live and dwell in us. God, the beginning of all beginnings and the end of all ends, the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God who made a way for us out of no way. The God who keeps picking us up, turning us around, and placing our feet on solid ground. The God who sets high and looks low. The God that has his Son at his right hand interceding in our behalf and decide what he's going to bless us with and give the order to the Holy Ghost, and he delivered it unto us. That God. The God that they say was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. The God, when Moses saw it, was a burning bush. Fire was everywhere. The bush was still standing still and not burning. The God who reveals himself to us in his word. The God who allows us to know him by his word. The God who can't lie. The God who promised never to leave us or forsake us. The God. The Almighty God, all power in your hand. The God that knows all things, sees all things. The God that's everywhere at the same time. The God that loves his children. The God that keep on blessing us. The God that extended his righteousness towards us. The God who give us grace, that's unmerited favor, nothing we did for it, because he's such a gracious God. And then he turn around with mercy, and mercies would hold back the punishment we do deserve. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? God, but tonight I just want to say thank you. I have to thank you, dear God, for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you promised to do. I thank you, dear God, that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteousness availeth much. God, and you're not going to let what we're doing, because the things we do for Christ will last all the way through eternity, and it won't return void. Holy Spirit, I ask that you have your way with this lesson on tonight. I understand that I can only give revelation. I can only give information, but it's the Holy Ghost that delivers revelation and illumination. God, I thank you for being my God. I thank you for everything you've done in my life. I thank you for what you're doing in your people lives. And I just thank you for being God all by yourself. Heavenly Father, and I come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen, and thank God. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. Well, if we get to the lesson, and you know I always give a little introduction, a little background. I told you the title of the night's lesson is Sin Always Promises More Than It Can Give. I don't know if I have any amens out there because I can't hear you, but think back. Sin always promises more than it can give. You see, this is a parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. The scriptures could be found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 20, and I ask that you read the whole chapter so you could get a full view of what Jesus was teaching about. You see, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And you see, God uses earthly things because you are familiar with them and their meanings and what they are used for and what they do. You see, a parable places things besides one and another, and it makes comparison so that their similarities could be noticed. You see, it's a simple story illustrating a moral or religious lesson. You see, Jesus taught many times in the Gospels using parables. Jesus was asked by his disciples, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said, it is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Talking about those who believe in the saved and the Christians. But to them, it is not. If you never accepted Jesus, you'll never get to understand the fullness and the mysteries that he has to offer. You got to be initiated in. You got to accept, believe. Come on, y'all. In order to understand it. When we look at parables, we must make the comparison between the earthly and the heavenly, then understand the message Jesus was teaching. So I'm going to give you some facts right now. So when we read these scriptures, you'll know what's going on. I'm going to give you a little heads up. I'm going to give you a cheat sheet. So the main characters in a parable is a forgiving father. You take that father in a parable and compare him to God, who is always forgiving, always constant and can't change. You see, in telling the story, Jesus identified himself with God in his loving attitude towards the lost. There's a young son in this story, parable, who symbolizes the lost and is compared to tax collectors and sinners of that day. Y'all know about tax collectors, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. You know, they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. Come on, y'all. So that's what you compare the young son to. And then there was an older boy. And you could see and place him as a self-righteous person. And he's compared to the other people of that day that puffed themselves up. Again, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So that's the main characters in the book, and that's the comparison you could do. So what we're going to do now is go ahead into the lesson. But the title of our lesson is Sin, hallelujah, always promise more than it can give. And I can contest to that. I can say amen to that. You see, sin offers you pleasure. But all of the pleasure that sin can offer you is only temporal. Come on, y'all. Sin sets you up. And when everything is found out, because everything you do in the dark gonna come to the light. And when that happens, the sin ringleader, Satan, gonna walk away and leave you all alone to face the music. You know, people on the street doing what they want to do, and plenty of them saying, I'm not just talking about people using drugs, but they realize when they hit rock bottom, they had no more space to go down. They began to look up, and things began to change. See, sin like to hold you tight, but sin don't love nobody. You know, it courts you to make you think that it does. But I'm talking about sin tonight. But sin always promises more than it can give. And we're going to go into the scripture. I'm starting in the 15th chapter, 11th verse. And the scripture reads, and a man, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Remember, y'all, it was an elder son and a younger son. The younger son was like a sinner, and the elder son was self-righteous. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divide unto them his living. What he's saying? His dad wasn't dead. At that moment, he wanted his inheritance. And how many of y'all know an inheritance is given to the person that inherited once the person who owned it has died? But this boy wants his now, right now, right now. So he told his father, give me my portion. And verse 13, and not many days after the younger son, gathered all together, dad said, okay, y'all, and took his journey to a far country. And look what the scripture says. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. So if I look at this here, these verses I just read, and I just want y'all to know, it's a prime example, and I'm going to ask you never to do this. Don't let the green grass fool you. You know how they always say, your mom and them used to tell you, boy, that grass looks greener on that side. But I come to tell you tonight, y'all, don't let the green grass fool you. Hallelujah. Because what looked to be better don't always turn out that way. You know, coming to mind right now when they have a preacher and the preacher have children. And not just a preacher, but anyone was raised in a house with somebody who made them go to church. And probably if it was a long time ago, you know, they stayed in church all day long. And many of them can contest and confess that they made a pact with themselves. When they got old enough and got out of that house, they didn't want to go to church no more. And if they went, they was going to decide when they would go. And they would decide if they would go. Because, you see, they think the grass is greener on the other side. You know, they might want to just start tap dancing with the world, this world that don't love nobody. You see, and the younger son of them said to his father, I want my stuff, I want it now. You know, his younger son asked the father for his share of his estate, which would have been half of what the older brother would receive, in other words. So the older always got the biggest portion. So the younger boy would get one-third, and the older brother would receive the younger brother would receive one-third, and the older brothers would receive two-thirds. He got a double portion than the youngest son. Though it was not written, and it was maybe in his right to ask, but I could tell you it wasn't a loving thing to do, because as it applied that he wished his father was dead. But instead of rebuking his son, the father patiently granted him his request. If you look at this, this is a picture how God does with letting sinners go their own way. He made us free and moral agents, and he don't force himself on nobody. So the father agreed with the son, gave him the money, and wished him well. You see, he took his inheritance and went to a far country. It is evidence from his previous actions that he had already made the journey in his heart. The Bible said, so as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, he probably had been thinking about, Lord, if I could just get to another country, to another place. This place too dull. There ain't no action. I need to be around something that's happening. I want to get out of here. It was in his heart, y'all. He finally got the nerve. He asked his father granted. Now he done packed it all up, and he ready to depart, which was a display of ungratefulness. Because you got to look back now at all that the father was doing for him when they was little and couldn't take care of themselves. And even after they got grown, the father had it going on, so they lived a great life. But you see, it wasn't good enough for him because he wanted to see the grass, if the grass was greener on the other side. And he didn't realize that sin was pulling him in and promising him things that he think he wants. But he didn't realize that sin can never give it. You see, this is compared to how we take God's goodness, grace, and loving kindness for granted. It's so true, y'all. It's so true, because we're doing it like we want to do it. I know for a fact, and I'm talking about me, so I'll leave everybody else out. I know for a fact there's more things that I have read in the Bible, know to be true, and know this is what God wants us to do. Plenty things I have accomplished. Plenty things, you know, like they say, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. Plenty. But I know if I want to be true to myself, I still got work to do. Hallelujah. So when you know what God says and you act of disobedient as if you're ungrateful, as if to say God haven't done enough, or what you want God to do for you to get these other things in line. But we're human. We all fall short. And I thank God that he's looking for my direction and not for my perfection. And I keep pressing towards the mark of the prize for the high calling. You see, before long, all he had was gone. And he hit that rock bottom I talked about early. You see, the grass may look greener on the other side, but don't let what might seem greener to fool you, because sin always promises more than it can give. And I'm going to read some more of the verses. I'm going to be in the 15th. I'm starting at the 14th, 15th, and 16th verse. And the scripture reads, and when he had spent all, everything he had in money, y'all know how some people get an inheritance. And soon and very soon it's all gone. But when he had spent it all, now he in a far off country now, you know, he ain't around his daddy and his family who could help him when he falls short. And not only that, when all of his money and resources was gone, they had a mighty famine in the land, and he began to want. Now the famine came in the land, and it made double trouble for him. He don't have no money, no resources. Now there's a famine, and verse 15 said, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. When they say join himself with a citizen, that means he became a worker, a slave for the worker, for the slave, for the person who he joined himself with. And he sent him into the field to feed the swines. The swines is the pigs, y'all. Now, if you know anything about Jews, you know they do not like pig. They detest pig. They don't eat it. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to be around it. They don't this and they don't want that. Now, he went to the far land, and then came a famine. He didn't have nothing, so he went to work as a slave for somebody, for a foreigner, a stranger, far off country. And a man gave him the job to feed the pigs. And verse 16 said, and he would faint, that means gladly. He would feigned, F-A-I-N, gladly, to have his belly filled with the hawks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Y'all know it's a true saying, everybody loves the winner. When you're doing good, everybody is all around you. Something come up. You're going to be all alone. I'm trying to think of that singer name who had it going on, and he had that trouble with them girls. And now, you know, Satan will drop him like a hot potato. And that's just one of many. Everybody loves a winner. Everybody loves you when you're doing good, when you got something to give or look like you just got something. They love you. And now he don't have nothing, and nobody want to give him anything, y'all. You see, sin promised freedom, but it really brings slavery. You see, he squandered all that his father had worked so hard for one selfish, shallow fulfillment, and he wound up losing everything. His financial disaster is followed by a natural disaster in the form of a famine, which he failed to plan for. Come on, y'all. At this point, he sells himself into slavery. And look who he sells himself to, a Gentile. Now, Jews did not associate with Gentiles. Jews thought they were better than Gentiles. Remember, Jews was God's chosen nation, and they flaunted it whenever they had a chance. And Jews didn't fool with pigs. So look at this. He working for a Gentile would be like beneath him. He doing things that's contestable to his faith, his culture, his beliefs, fooling with pigs. And he find himself feeding pigs. You know, like I say, it's a detestable job for Jewish people. They didn't do that. Now watch the honoree of this is that his choices led him to a position that he had no choice but to work for a stranger, a Gentile at that, doing the very thing he probably refused to do for his father. And I'm sure his father may not even ask him to do that, to fool with the pigs. To top it off, he apparently was paid so little that he began to eat the pigs' food. Just when he must have thought life could not get any worse, He couldn't find mercy among the people. Nobody want to deal with you. You ain't got nothing to give. You know, some people only deal with you because they figure they could get something from you. They don't like you. They tolerate you. But soon as the rubber meets the road, you'll see who's with you and who's not. You see, apparently once everything was gone, so was his friends. When you have nothing, it's hard to get something. And this is a picture of the state of a lost sinner, a rebellious Christian who has returned to a life of slavery to sin. It is a picture of what sin always does in a person's life when he rejects the Father's will. Sin always promises more than it can give. It takes you further than you want to go and leave you worse off than you were before. Come on, y'all. That's why the scripture says it's better to obey than a sacrifice. When you do it right, you don't have to worry about these things. Because right produce right, and wrong produce wrong. And I come to tell you tonight, there's no right way to do wrong, and there's no wrong way to do right. It's either right or it's wrong. Many people try to justify what they do. Like I have, you know, people have heard people, and I'm not picking on men, but I've heard men say this is true. That, you know, they have a wife and then they have a lady on the side. And the man would stick his chest out and be bold. You know, I know how to do this. He said, I bet you that woman will never come and say anything to my wife. I know how to separate it. He was just that good at sinning. That's boasting in sin, y'all. That's ignorance. But he said that, like, if he knew how to sin right and made it right, how his sinning by how he did it made it righteous. There's no right way to do wrong, and there's no wrong way to do it right. We have to remember that. We can't make up righteousness for our actions. We can't take our own agenda and turn it around. That's what they was doing from the White House for the last 4 years. You could hear an outright lie, and they want you to believe it's the truth. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? Come on, y'all. And I perish with hunger. He said, even my daddy's slaves, my daddy's servants have a good place to sleep and good food to eat, and they got enough food they could spare, and they're not concerned where their next meal coming from. Come on, y'all. In verse 18, he said, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, Dad, I ain't got to even have the privilege that I had before because I severed that. I turned my back on that. I got what I thought was mine, and I walked away. But I'm ready to come back, and you don't even have to take me back as a son. You could take me back as a hired servant. In verse 20, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, that's a sign of repentance. See, when you come right and you repent and you godly sorry, it restores hope. You see, the son began to reflect on the condition and realize that even his father's servant had better than him. You see, his painful consequences help him to see his father in a new light and bring hope. You see, he probably remember how good his daddy was, son. Sometimes your children got to be, you know, go through some things to realize how good you are to them. You see, Romans 8:24-25 say, "For we are all saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man see, why do he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You see, this is reflective of a sinner when he or she discovered the destitute condition of their life because of sin. Don't sin do that, y'all. Don't sin do that in our lives. You see, it is the realization that apart from God, there is no hope. This is when a repentant sinner comes to his senses and longs to return to the state of fellowship with God, which was lost when Adam sinned. You see, he's willing to give up his rights as the father's son and take the position as a servant. He now humbles himself and no longer has puffed up pride. See, sometimes you got to get knocked down. You see, even with Moses was in the king's palace for 40 years. Moses had everything at his beck and call. Moses had anything he wanted. He was the king's daughter's son. But God had something for Moses to do. And you see, like this boy was humbling himself, God allowed Moses, well, he killed the man and he went on a run. And when the place he went to, the man gave him a job, but he was tending sheep. God used that time, and it was 40 years as well, to teach Moses, to humble Moses, to teach Moses how to take care of something and be concerned about something other than you. See, God allows that in our lives. So when we look at our trials, tribulation, adversity, setbacks, turnaround, there's always a message in it. God sometimes lets you go through these things or maybe addiction. That way you will always be compassionate to the next person. See, God needs compassionate people. God don't need people who never went through nothing. How you going to be able to relate to the things that the other people are going through? Usually when you go to a rehab place, all of the workers and the counselors, they all had been on drugs because they could remember when. Now, sometimes people go through things in their life, and they so try not to let nobody know till they do such a good job, they forget what they did. They act like they was always where they are right now. They don't remember when. A lot of the old people will tell you, like, you know, they tell you their story like it was, you know, apple pie every day. They don't tell you the things they did, and I'm not saying they should. So you don't have to tell it, but you need to remember when. The boy no longer is puffed up in pride, y'all. This is exactly what conversion is about, ending a life of slavery to sin through confession to the Father, faith in Jesus Christ, and becoming a slave to righteousness, offering one's body as a living sacrifice. You see, when a Christian knows better but don't do it, sin will have his way with you. The prodigal son was satisfied to return home as a slave, but his father restored him back into full privileges. That's what God does us. The scripture says, and it talks about the shepherd, and Jesus, we know, is our good shepherd. A shepherd loves his sheep. And it is said over and over in the word of God that if a shepherd have 99 sheep and one sheep goes astray, the shepherd will leave the 99 to go and find the one. This man saw his son, and he was ready to restore him back to his original state. You see, the prodigal son was satisfied to return home as a slave, but his father restored him back to full privileges. You see, God don't allow our past to dictate our future. Thank God for that. You see, and we don't have to keep growing up what they did. Hallelujah. So many people like to do that. Oh, you see her? She preaching the word of God, but you know, she was out there on the street hooking the things you used to do. They want to keep it in your forefront. That's why Jesus said in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who love the Lord. People will do that. But knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, don't let it worry you. Don't let it knock you down. You see, this is what God does for a repentant sinner. Not only are we forgiven, but we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Right then and there, the last could be first and the first could be last. God is no respecter of person. He used a parable of people going to work, and they hired some men at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. The noon hour came, and they hired some more men. And some men came to work at 3 o'clock, and they might have was getting off at 4. But when a man got ready to pay the workers, he gave all of them the same pay. And you know, of course, the ones that came earlier was mad. The ones that came at noon was mad. But this parable, because it's a parable as well in the Bible, he said, didn't I give you what I told you I was going to give you? You know, take what's yours and keep it moving. And you see, that's how the father felt, because he restored him back to his full privileges. You see, the father ordered the best robe, which is a sign of honor. He got a ring for his son's hand, which is a sign of authority and sonship, and sandals for his feet, which is a sign of not being a servant. You see, when we receive Christ upon salvation, we receive a robe of redemption, righteousness, and sandals fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So what the Father do? The Father take the fattest calf and kill it and prepare it. Notice that blood had to be shed, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Hallelujah. The blood was shed, and that was atonement for the sins his son has committed. And I guess when that blood drained, he said, it is over. We're not going to talk about it anymore. There's no condemnation. We're going to start right here, right now. And that's what God does with a sinner. He don't look at what you did. And we have to stop doing that with people. We always want to tell somebody's story. And I don't hear some people who tell other people's stories. I'll never hear them telling about theirs. Always ready to talk about somebody's story, their shortcomings, their failures. Come on, y'all. When you usually kill the calf, it was for special guests. If you read further, you will see, because that's our published scripture, you will see that everybody is not happy when you find your way. You see, the eldest son became angry and disappointed about the way in which his father received the lost son. You see, I called him in the description of the characters, the selfish one. You see, he's only focused on himself. You see, he began to deal with the issue of injustice and equality and failed to see the value of his brother's repentance and return home. Come on, y'all. I've heard that people was wilding in sin and maybe living in a house with a bunch of sinners, and one decided to go and get their life straight. And it got so bad in the house because they always was, you think you better than me, you know, that the person had to leave. So this brother, you know, is pretty teed off. You see, he preferred to nurse his anger rather than enjoy fellowship with his father and his brother. He chose suffering and isolation over restoration and reconciliation. He sees his brother return as a threat to his own inheritance and is already established what you're going to get. The brother can't take it. He can't steal it. And God never treat us as our sins deserve. See, people who do sins and have done sins and they still all right, they might think they was good enough, even though they did the sins, that they were so good that the sins don't come for them. Sin collects its wages. I don't care who you are. But you see, that mercy that God gives you when you accept his son holds back the punishment that you deserve. Come on, y'all. So don't get it twisted. God never treats us as our sin deserves or repairs according to our iniquities, which is grace. Treat us as our sins deserve because of mercy. Instead of condemnation, there is rejoicing for a son of a daughter who has been dead but now is alive, who once was lost but now is found. This is the picture of what occurs in heaven over one repentant servant. You know, when someone come and accept Christ, they say heaven is rejoicing. The angels is glad. And in a conclusion, the picture of the father receiving the son back into the relationship is a picture of how we should respond to repentant sinners as well. Remember, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all our righteous acts the Bible describes as filthy rags apart from Jesus. You see, everything is all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. It is only by God's grace we were saved. Don't you ever think more that you're so good. I did everything good. I always was good. God's grace saved us, not by works that we may boast. Boasting is a sin, y'all. God said he has fixed everything where no man can boast. See, that's why God gives us grace and mercy. That's why he says it's a gift. He don't want you to go out there, oh, I went and got a little grace and mercy. I worked hard and I got it. I'm myself, man. I made it happen. You can't say that. You could say it, but you'll be a lie and the truth wouldn't be in you. You see, and no matter what state you are in, I come to tell you tonight, God is always waiting for you with open arms. Open arms to welcome you back home. That's our lesson for tonight. Anybody who would like to make any comments, add something to it, You could do so at this time. Anybody who would like to make a comment can. Don't let your past hold you down. Don't let guilt and shame. See, guilt and see, when you sin, even though you stop the sin and you turn your life around, the consequences of sin still try to eat at you. You get guilty for what you get guilty things for what you did. And you're always trying to make up to the person you think you hurt while you were sinning. And you're always, see, that's too hard. The Bible say there's no condemnation. God has put all that in the sea of forgiveness. And that's what we have to learn how to do. We're always trying to make up. How you going to make up? You can't bring the time back. You can't erase the hurt. You could just go forward and do what's right and keep it moving. Caller, your number is 678, your area code. Your mic is open.
That was a great lesson, and I'm so glad that God took the time out to go find the one lost, because I was once lost, being in my sins, and he saw fit to come and fetch me out of the miry clay and bring me into the fold. Thank God for a loving God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my sister. That's Minister Paula Cloud. Anyone else have anything they would like to say at this time? No one have anything they would like to say at this time? Well, if that's it, that's the program for tonight. Caller, your number is 909-827. Your mic is open.
It was well presented. Thank you so much. God is so amazing. I thank you for sharing his holy word with us on tonight. May God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my sister. That's Sister Angelique Downing. Hallelujah. God is amazing. Anyone else would like to say anything at this time? Well, if that's it for tonight, we could have our benediction. And I guess my old-time favorite is in order, because I usually say growing grace. I'm talking about this grace that God has given us. Remember, y'all, grace is God giving us everything we don't deserve. So as God do this, he tell you to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and truth within that grace. That's going to make you more solid, more strong, more clear-headed, more, you know, it's going to dress you with the whole armor of God that you could withstand the fiery darts of Satan. It's going to bring you to where you need to be, and it's going to start establishing you and bringing you from season to season and glory to glory. If you grow in that grace that God has given us once we accept his son. And how you do it, he said, grow in grace and the knowledge. The more knowledge you have about God, the more you could grow. The more you'll be able to trust him. You cannot trust somebody you don't know. The more you begin to learn who God is, the more you begin to trust him. The more you could see the evidence, what he did in other people's lives. Didn't he part the Red Sea for the Egyptians? I mean, for the Israelites when the Egyptians was out after him. Didn't he take Joseph out of pit and raise him the second in command in Egypt? Didn't he allow Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in a fiery furnace and walk around, and the king who was a pagan man, and Jesus wasn't born. He said, it's not put three in there. He said, but I see four walking around. He said, one of them looked like the Son of God. That's the Old Testament. Jesus wasn't born. But that was a confession from a pagan king that came out his mouth. Won't God do it? When you see what he's doing and operating in others' life, that lets you know he'll do the same for you. And God is no respect of person. What he done for one, he'll do for you. That's it tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back again next week. Same time, same station. Remember, God does not allow your past to dictate your future. Good night.